Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Let's count the ways Rob Riggle has graced your television set. Actor, comedian, Daily Show correspondent, holy moly commentator, commercial pitch person. On Sunday night, Mr. R opens a new chapter in his television existence. Global investigator. Discovery Channel is the place, and executive producer Michael Sorensen joins me next. Also ahead, RuPaul and Netflix part ways, an amazing show to know, and our new classic trivia winner. Hey everyone, I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised, brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get 3 free books when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later this half hour. Pleasure to have you with us this Friday on the program All About Television. 43 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. Rain started about 10, 15 minutes ago. Hopefully it'll be a shower kind of thing and get us ready for a terrific weekend. Wherever you are, we hope you're doing great. Thank you again for tuning us in. Good guests coming your way in the hour ahead. And we invite you to be part of the program. It's very simple. Pick up the phone, raise your voice, and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and TuneIn Radio. We got a chat room business for you as well. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So use the phone or the room, either way we'll hear you. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk speaker or TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. Michael Sorensen from Rob Riggle, global investigator, joins us live from Los Angeles after these news notes. Another Netflix scripted series bit the dust today after one round of episodes. AJ and the Queen, featuring RuPaul as a road-tripping drag queen, had his plug pulled. RuPaul, who co-created the series with Sex and City scribe Michael Patrick King, broke the cancellation details a few hours ago via Twitter. Other recent Netflix series that meant one season and no more lately include musical drama Soundtrack, whose creator Josh Stafford was on the show last December, and Finger Skating Saga, Spitting Out. From Plus to Plus, that's what it looks like for series executive producers Edward Kitson and Adam Horowitz of Once Upon a Time fame. While awaiting viewer reaction to the revival of anthology Amazing Stories, starting today on Apple TV Plus, the duo is working up a Beauty and the Beast prequel miniseries for Disney Plus. It will feature Beast supporting characters Gaston and Lefort, played by Josh Gad and Luke Evans, respectively, in the 2017 live-action reality film. Anyway, Gad and Evans would be back as those characters if Disney Plus approved the project, and Gad would also sign on as co-creator, writer, and producer. Now some quickies. Rainey's second season will launch on Hulu May 29th. Several weeks earlier, Hulu will debut Solar Opposites, the adult animated adventure for Rick and Morty's production team. No comment from Tegna on a Reuters report that the station group has an $8.5 billion takeover target of rival station owner Gray Television. And Jeremy co-producer Gina Pitar will develop more scripted TV series via a new deal with Universal Content Productions. A series based on the Megan Abbott novel will wrap up this Sunday night, 10 p.m. Pacific time on USA. And that is news notes for today. And now joining us live from Los Angeles, one of the executive producers of Rob Riggle, Global Investigator, premiering on Discovery Channel this Sunday at 10 p.m., Michael Sorensen. Hello, Michael.
Hey, Simon. How are you?
Very, very fine, thank you. So how long has Rob been thinking about his new role for Discovery?
Yeah, we've been shooting this show for over a year now. I mean, we've went to 6 different locations, shot around the world, so it's been a big global investigation for him, and it's been a long shoot.
And how did it get started? Was it Rob coming to you and your production team and saying, this is something new I want to do, or did you, with your production company, approach him with the idea?
Well, our production company worked with Rob on 2 Shark Week specials, one with him and Shaquille O'Neal, where he was kind enough to help Shaq overcome his fears and get in the water with some sharks down in the Bahamas, and then also another big 2-hour Shark Week special we did last year called Guy's Trip. And then so coming off the heels of those, he kind of came to us and said, hey, look, I'm really into history. I would love to do something where I go back in time and kind of investigate some of these old ancient mysteries that have gone unsolved and kind of do it with my blend of humor. And he loves history, loves the subject, and this was his idea, and kind of came up with the title himself and said, let me throw myself in there like I did with The Daily Show and kind of go out on a journey with these experts.
How big of a surprise do you think it's going to be when people tune in to see him not being in very comic tone the way he is, was on The Daily Show, or he was last year with on Holy Moly with Joe Tessitore alongside him?
In the community, I think when people tune in, they're going to love the blend. I mean, I think what you're going to find from Rob is it's extremely funny. It's his brand of comedy. I think he plays big over-the-top characters better than anybody. You know, I think he brings his, you know, own sense of bravado to the subject matter where he believes he's going to find the Holy Grail and he's going to solve the mystery of Atlantis. So I think his brand of comedy and humor that you see in Holy Moly and all of his movies, 21 Jump Street, I think all of that stuff is going to be here. I think what you're going to also get, though, is a little sense of who he is as a person and also hear a little bit more about how his passion for history and his curiosity for history really shines through. And I think that's kind of what, you know, we kind of were taken back by a bit was, you know, obviously as a Marine, he loves history and has read a lot, and he brought a lot of his own information into the series, and I think that's what people are going to love about it.
Is that where he got the passion from, his time in the service?
I assume so. I mean, that's kind of what he's told us, and then the conversations we've had on set. But I mean, I'm sure even as a young kid, you know, growing up, he just always loved the subject, and you know, has throughout this series really has been doing a lot of his own research and kind of sending us ideas. In fact, the premiere episode, which is The Search for Atlantis, was done on research that he came across, which was new evidence of a sunken city outside of a caldera in Santorini. So he said, basically, let's go out there, investigate this. I want to dive it. And it was a really tough dive, and he really put himself into the story. So, you know, that was the thing for him. He was always doing work throughout this whole series.
Mm-hmm. So when you put the series together, did you pretty much have all the subjects in hand for Rob to investigate, or in the course of, let's say, doing one episode, Rob suggested another? It reminded me in a way of what Charles Carroll, the famous CBS News correspondent, used to do on the road. We did those segments for many years for the CBS Evening News World of Cronkite, where he and his camera crew would be traveling the highways and byways to one story, and on his way over decided, let's step into this town. There's an interesting story we're hearing about, and we'll explore that.
Yeah, I think it was done that way. I mean, and obviously we had a couple ideas going into this. I think obviously working with Rob and his team, we wanted to conquer some things that felt iconic. You know, we knew that, you know, the Holy Grail and Atlantis were big names, and I think those would be a lot of fun to get after. But I think as the course of this came in, we shifted from time to time. It didn't really kind of pre-plan all the stories out. So, you know, first episode, you know, that we shot was in Atlantis, and he was like, that was amazing. But I'm also interested in pirates and the history of pirates in Key West. Is there something we can do there around lost treasure? So it kind of allowed us from episode to episode to kind of infuse some variety and really follow the things that he was curious about. And I think maybe that's, you know, what you're going to get when you watch this, is his curiosity really shines through.
Speaking with Michael Sorensen, he is the executive producer of Rob Reno's Rover Investigator, a very different kind of series for Discovery Channel, and premieres this Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Michael joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Great to be with you for the program All About Television on this Friday afternoon. Simon Hatman with you live from New York. We're coming your way on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, also on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. If you have a question or comment for Michael, ring the phone, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. New York City Television Week has been a popular attraction here in the Big Apple for a number of years in the fall. Now, later this month, it's coming alive in the spring, as Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised will lead off with the person that's making it possible, the Vice President of Global Air Chief of Future PLC, the organization not only behind NYC TV Week Spring, but also two of the top magazines covering the world of television, broadcasting and cable, and multi-channel news, Bill Gannon. And then, we're focused on the director of a new made-for-TV movie that's being distributed in a very unusual way, through services you get on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. The film is called Sweet Sunshine. It will premiere first on Amazon on March 20th, then go to other services as well. We will have the director, Craig McMahon, with us. That's all coming up Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. When you put together, say, a episode like Atlantis, how much time does it take to get the information research, get Rob up to speed, get the location, and go to tape or film?
That episode took us about 3 or 4 weeks to put together. You know, obviously we had to get permits and also get the right scientists on board. I think the key for this is having Rob interact with his brand of humor, but also really work with scientists who are, you know, working day in and day out there to find new evidence of sunken cities, to who are doing huge excavation projects in Akatiri and other kind of like dig sites in Greece and around those islands. So, you know, it took us 3 or 4 weeks to make sure we can get the right blend of humor and information and line all of those up. But, you know, I think we were out there for about 5 days to film that episode.
Did somebody go out ahead of time before Rob did to see if, in fact, there was a sunken city?
Say that one more time.
Did anyone go out ahead of time before Rob got there to see, in fact, is there a sunken city? Is there a sunken Atlantis?
No, we didn't have a scout team. No, not at all. I mean, we had a good idea of some of the new finds that were coming up and some of these dig sites. They've really been looking at some of the other lost civilizations of Greece. So we knew that we were going to have a pretty robust conversation about Minoan culture and other cultures that kind of have been buried in under some of these kind of volcanic eruptions. But what we didn't know is, you know, a couple of the dive sites we went to, we found some incredible new findings and have worked with a couple local teams since, local scientists and archaeologists to kind of verify some of the data that we came across.
Yeah. When you're doing your thing, it's a way – I would think, like nature filmmakers, a lot of whom we've had on this program over the years, where, you know, you can't direct Mother Nature. Mother Nature directs you.
Yeah.
You can't, tell the ocean, hey, sit still for Mr. Eagle to dive down there and catch the city. So how do you, you know, do a program like this where you really have one shot to sort of, for Rob to prove or disprove these situations?
Yeah, no, look, trust me, we do a lot of natural history here, our production company. We work a lot with Discovery Channel on Shark Week programming, so we know that feeling where you're waiting what seems like days and hoping to dodge storms to get one great shot. You know, very similar on this. I think, you know, when you plan for things, especially information and some of the background story material that you want for these stories, you know, where did the legend of Atlantis even start from? Well, it actually turned out that it came from the writings of Plato himself. So Rob was able to go to this lost Atlantis museum and meet with an expert who has been, you know, basically building this diorama around the writings of Plato. So those kinds of shoots and those kinds of segments and stories are things that you can count on. And you know, like, okay, well, let's get those stories first. Let's plan those. And then this way, if we're going out to a dive site and we get hit with weather, then you can kind of shift on the fly and then say, all right, well, look, we're going to lose this shoot day because of weather. Let's move Rob inside. Let's go and get our material inside the lost museum, get all of that stuff that's a controlled environment and, you know, kind of build ourselves a window in this uncontrolled, to your point, natural history environment where, you know, you're looking to get the grass stuff. You're looking to make a discovery. You're looking to get up close with underwater wildlife. And, you know, sometimes nature doesn't cooperate.
Mm-hmm. How about the scientists that Rob deals with? Do they come in with a little bit of skepticism? Oh, a comedian or actor is going to talk to us or consult with us about something like this. What do they have to say about their experience with Rob?
I'd say so far every one of them loved it. You know, I think some, you know, coming into it, knowing Rob, I think, you know, they knew that he was funny, but also, you know, talking with him and getting to know him on set, I think they felt really comfortable. And I think they understand when Rob's making a joke, it's not at their expense. They're part of it. And I think what you started to realize is every single interview, you start off, you know, they build a rapport. And by the end of it, the scientists want to get in on the humor. The scientists want to make jokes. They want to be part of it. And it's just kind of funny every single time we do one of these, you see them come in a little bit guarded. But by the end of it, with Rob's kind of personality and just like he's such a great guy, by the end of it, they become best friends. And, you know, they can't wait to see the show.
Mm-hmm. So Atlantis is the opening episode this Sunday night. Where does the show go from there?
Yeah, we have 6 episodes. The next show after that is actually, you know, we want to set our standards high here. So after Atlantis, we go looking for the Holy Grail in the kind of catacombs and archives and underground tunnels of Scotland, which is an amazing episode. And it kind of, you know, really is Rob's search for the trail of the Knights Templar and kind of working with a lot of great historians out there to understand, you know, how far did they get in Scotland? Why were they pushed out of France? And why do people believe the Holy Grail to be here? So we go from Atlantis to the Holy Grail, and then we go to Key West, Florida, to look for the treasure of Henry Caesar, who's kind of a lost pirate from the golden age of piracy in the U.S. And we dive three separate shipwrecks looking for treasure. So Rob really got himself his hands dirty on that episode.
By the way, I'm curious, since there's a lot of diving here, was Rob a fan of Sea Hunt? Do you ever watch episodes of that series, that classic series of Lloyd Bridges, where he's always diving underwater, searching for all sorts of things?
I'm sure. I don't know. Or 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. You know, as soon as we did our first Shark Week show with Rob, you know, the first thing he said was he's really excited to get scuba certified. You know, in that episode, I think he only got in the water and did one dive with the episode he did with Shaquille O'Neal, Shaq Does Shark Week. And the improvement he made in a year, I mean, last year alone on Guy's Trip, I think he did 10 separate dives, and some of them were really, really treacherous. So I think all of that prepared him for this series, and he was able to do some complicated stuff. So, you know, if he wasn't a big fan of underwater archaeology or diving before, he certainly is now. I mean, and you know, even by the end, he wanted to do more, you know, episodes that were underwater.
With the episode in Key West, some people might be reminded, especially if they've been watching Turner Classic Movies, 31 Days of Oscar, of the film Beneath the 12 Mile Reef, which was seen about a week or so ago. That was the which got, I think, an Oscar for either cinematography or special effects. But that's the film with Gilbert Rowland and Robert Wagner, where they're searching for these special sponges that will
okay.
make them very, very rich in the in that area of Key West, or in that area of Florida.
I haven't seen that, but I'm sure it could evoke some of that. There's definitely was a lot of, you know, treacherous conditions, and one interesting story out there, and I don't know if they came across this filming that, but when we were out there, Rob actually was diving in a few lagoons just north of Key West, and he came across, and I don't know if you knew about this, something called fire mud. And what happened is that we were in this kind of brackish water, very shallow swamp, but the mud there actually has tiny parasites that attach to you and basically start to make your skin burn. So as we were filming, he didn't want to say anything because he didn't want to, you know, miss the shot or ruin the conversation with the, you know, the treasure hunter that we were with. And they were really diving for treasure. So he didn't want to ruin all the filming. So he kind of kept quiet. And then as soon as we stopped, we had to pull him out of the water, and he told us what was happening. The whole crew that was underwater kind of revealed that this fire mud basically started burning, you know, their skin. So definitely it's not an easy place to shoot.
You talked a bit about how Rob prepared for these episodes. How do your production crew prepare? How do you? What kind of cases do you take them on, when knowing that they're going to go through these catacombs, let's say, in Scotland in search of the Holy Grail, or they're going to go under the water in search of these Key West treasures?
You know, our preparation, obviously, the first thing is safety. You know, we work with a really good team. We have an underwater kind of safety team that we work with to make sure no matter what we do, that, you know, Rob's safe and our crew is safe. I think that's the first thing. And I'm sure, you know, you've talked to a few natural history cameramen, and, you know, obviously they want the shot, but, you know, that's the key, is making sure no matter what we do, we have a safety plan in place. And then we spend a lot of time on that. But secondary, I think it's just kind of knowing the story. I think for us as producers and kind of writers of this episode, we have to become kind of like mini historians on the subject. So we read everything we can. We have a research team pulling up facts and information. We have to know the ins and outs of the entire mystery. So when we're in the field, you know, and something comes up, we can shift the story pretty quickly and make sure we have, you know, the mystery makes sense. So that's the other thing. I mean, that takes a few weeks just to get everybody off the speed about the story we're shooting. But we're in the field. We want things to happen as naturally as they can. We want things to take a direction we never expected. So in terms of prepping Rob, he does his own research, and we tell him the people that he's going to meet and kind of what we want to do. But then when he's out there and we find a piece of information that he's excited about, then we are allowing him to say, hey, can we go and do this? Or next time when I meet with this next historian, I want to ask him about what I just heard. You know, in the, you know, episode of the Holy Grail, you know, we learn basically about the final days of the Knights Templar. and how that pushed us forward. And as soon as he heard that, he had a theory about, well, maybe they moved, you know, they moved from the first location north, and I want to find out if that's the new trail that the Holy Grail took along with the Knights Templar. So I think it's a little bit of like, you know, a ton of preparation on story and safety, but making sure when you're out there, you have ultimate flexibility to allow the story to unfold as it happens, you know, naturally.
Rob Riggle begins his new role as Global Investigator on Discovery Channel this Sunday night at 10 p.m. East Pacific Time. And the show is called Rob Riggle, Global Investigator. And we've got the executive producer of the show, Michael Sorensen. He's with us live from Los Angeles this half hour. On Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom Appleby from the other side of the U.S. of A, New York, where it is 43 degrees. The rain seems to have stopped outside the window pane. We'll see what happens the rest of the day and the night. We have a few more minutes with Michael. You have a question or comment for him? Don't be shy. Make your move. 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room. Simon Apple 04 by name. A week from Monday, March 16th, we'll be coming your way a half hour earlier than normal. That's 2:30 Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Pacific. Our lead guest that day will be the writers and executive producers of the brand new NBC dramedy Council of Dads, Tony Phelan and Joan Rader. That's Tony Phelan and Joan Rader from Council of Dads, premiering later this month on NBC. They're with us live at a special early time, 2:30 p.m. Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Pacific, exclusively right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And that Friday, March 20th, we will have a very interesting guest for you. His name is Wade Bradley. He's the co-founder and chief executive officer of a new service called Women's TV, where you, the viewer, get the chance not only to select what shows you would like to see on that service, but if you like them, you pay for them and make sure they happen. That's Wade Bradley from Women's TV in a special exclusive interview. That's a week from Friday, March 20th, exclusively right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Of all the six episodes, what was most surprising in terms of what you went through and what Rob found?
I would say the one episode that was most surprising, we went in search of the missing Roman 9th Legion, which was basically the strongest battalion of Roman Empire. And, you know, the most surprising was it was a story I didn't know much about. And it's an amazing mystery where basically this whole legion was dispatched by Julius Caesar to kind of stop the Scottish uprising. And they vanished without a trace. I mean, we've met with a lot of different people who, you know, took us on what they believed their path to be. But just going through this story and understanding that, you know, a troop of 5,000 people just went missing without any skeletal remains or any, you know, evidence of them being there, basically outside of them first arriving on the continent. So it's like, you know, getting to know that stories like this still exist and you can still have surprising stories, I thought was, you know, one of the best things we ever came across. And in that episode, we actually found some remains that we believe could be tied to one of the legions or one of the legionnaires.
Was there something Rob wanted to investigate that he couldn't because you only had six episodes to work with, that if the story gets you a second season, it's like top of his bucket list or top of his investigation list for a second season?
Really good question. You know, I definitely think that, you know, we wanted to do something in the Bermuda Triangle. That was something we never really got to explore. And obviously that's probably a much bigger deep sea expedition that we have to undertake. And that's something that we just didn't have time for. Another story that we were looking at that we were excited about was Loch Ness. You know, whether or not we can, you know, push and find new evidence on that. And I think when we looked into it, it just didn't really feel like there was enough there to keep exploring or find that new evidence or that new piece that made it feel like, you know, we had a new trailhead on that kind of story. But, you know, we have a lot of great ideas for season two.
This is also not only, Michael, a very unusual series for Rob, but for somebody else who's also involved with this series, and that's the very prolific independent producer, Will Packer, that we all know from both
yeah.
TV shows and, of course, movies like Girls Trip. What was it like for him to executive produce this must be a very interesting stretch.
You know, it really wasn't for him. I mean, look, he's one of the greatest producing, you know, obviously direct producers out there, and so prolific with his box office success. And you know, he really knows comedy better than anybody. You know, and he really knows how to get that across the audience. And he's been an amazing producing partner. So we've been lucky to kind of learn from him. You know, I think what we partnered on and what we came together with, you know, as an executive producer, I worked a lot with Discovery Channel and used to work at Discovery. So I think we knew how to kind of take what we know about bringing the information and the experts together and really telling these mystery stories, but working with Will and kind of bringing his kind of pedigree in the comedy space, along with Rob's pedigree in the comedy space, I think allowed us to create this hybrid that, you know, feels it's really, really funny, but also really satisfying because you're learning along the way. You know, there's a lot of takeaway. There's a lot of information. So as you're sitting on the couch, you know, with your family or your kids or whatever, you're walking away feeling like not only did I laugh the whole time, but, you know, I learned a little bit as well. And I think that's what's key for the Discovery audience. They still, you know, they really want to make sure that that's really core to their DNA. So I think in terms of that, you know, Will Packer was, you know, enormous in making sure we struck that right tone.
So while we wait for season one to unfold and also whether we go season two with Rob's explorations, what else is your production company working on?
We're currently right now in the throes of Shark Week. We produce a lot of Shark Week content. So we're out in we have a crew in New Zealand looking for a giant white shark named Fred, who's probably an 18-foot male white shark. So we're producing that. We have a UFO series with Travel Channel, which is also owned by Discovery Communications. So we're producing the gamut. We also do a lot of true crime programming with Investigation Discovery. So we have a true crime series that we're in production on right now. So, you know, a huge variety of different kind of genres.
So, mentioned Shark Week, why do you think this project has had the impact it has had on television and also on viewers, not just for 1 year, but for decade after decade now?
I honestly think that it taps into a few different, three different veins. I think obviously sharks taps into a kind of our primal fear of the water and what's lurking at the deep. You know, we're kind of entering, every time you enter the water, you kind of walking into their territory. And I think there's that healthy deer, dose of fear and also excitement and, you know, admiration. And I think people watch Shark Week because they love sharks. They want to get up close and personal with them. And it's not a place that they're able to do it really in the oceans. So I think that, you know, it really taps into their fascination and curiosity. You know, it's like you're getting up close with the apex predator of the ocean for an entire week. And also I really think Discovery, they really understand that Shark Week is about having a good time. It's about coming together once a week. You know, people throw Shark Week viewing parties. You get together with your friends and family. It gives you a real reason to come in and have that appointment viewing and that in a big event every summer. And I think it's something people look forward to. You know, it's really the Super Bowl of the summer. And I think that's something that, you know, has staying power. It feels every time, you know, you look forward to it, it's special, and then you wait all year for it to come back again. And I think there's, you know, there's a lot of reasons why it works, but, you know, that's just off the top of my head.
And again, Shark Week will be back for another round of shark activity, all sorts of ways, coming up this summer on Discovery Channel. And in the very near future, it's the premiere of Rob Riegel, Global Investigator. The series premieres this Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Check your local for Discovery Channels in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, go to www.discovery.com. It's www.discovery.com. Rob Riegel, Global Investigator. This Sunday night, 10 p.m. Pacific Time, and don't forget, coming up on ABC later this summer, the second season of Holy Moly, with Rob paired again with Joe Tessitore. Details on when that will premiere on ABC as part of the Summer Fun and Games 2020 coming soon. Michael Sorensen, the executive producer of Rob Riegel Investigator, thanks again for joining us. Good luck with the series. Hope it's the beginning of a wonderful run and a new way to see Rob in a sort of comic but fun way. It's been a dynamite to have you here.
All right, great. Thank you, Simon. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Have a super weekend.
You too.
My performance then, executive producer Rob Riegel, Global Investigator, joining us live from Los Angeles. More tomorrow televised coming your way, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. If you're in the mood for an unusual Western tale, try this one, Inland by Taya Tovate. That's right, Inland, a very unique Western tale, which you can get right now as one of three audiobooks and a one-month trial to Audible.com. Remember, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. There's over 200,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing this on right now, or Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and iHeartRadio. So remember, sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. You'll get three free audiobooks, 1 month trial of the service, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. And get this, two of those audiobooks come from the growing collection of Audible Originals. We're talking original audio productions, the best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater, and great one-woman and one-man performances. And again, it's all with a one-month trial and all gratis. So check for yourself how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world for that three-book trial, one-month trial, audibletrial.com/televised. Simple as that. When we come back, we got our second weekly classic trivia question winner in a row. We'll tell you who that person is and the winning answer. And then our show to know, it's already on Apple TV Plus, the revitalized Amazing Stories. A lot about that after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You can invest in the radio in the galaxy, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, together serving over 40 million listeners around the world every month and growing. And coming up in about 90 minutes, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, it's the Mother Love Show. And boy, she's got a great guest today. Rue Relief, I've heard all those comedy channel performances, all those game show appearances. At one point, she was the co-host of High Rollers with Alex Trebek on NBC. Well, she's live with Mother Love today, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, Mother Love Show. Catch it right here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. And don't forget, Best BTR and Spreaker comes your way 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Outbound with you live from New York, New York. 43 degrees at the top of the hour. Rain is on and off right now. We're supposed to get a very, very good weekend. Mid-40s for Saturday and 50s for Sunday. And don't forget, Daylight Savings Time is back on Sunday morning. So before you go to bed Saturday night, make the clock go ahead 1 hour. You lose an hour of sleep, that's okay. Get an extra hour of daylight and earlier than normal. So don't forget, set your clock ahead an hour Saturday night before Daylight Savings Time kicks in on Sunday. And now it's time for our classic trivia question segment. And for the second week in a row, we have a winner. And that winner came through today. It's Diane Montgomery from Dallas, Texas. Congratulations, Diane. And because you are the winner, you are soon going to get the Philip Glass soundtrack of the National Geographic acclaimed special Jane. And that'll be coming your way on CD very, very soon. Here's the question we posed at the start of the week. Name the first or the last game show hosted by Dick Clark. Diane got the last one from 2000 on CBS. It was Winning Line. Didn't last too long. Very interesting game show based on a British format. The first game show that Dick Clark hosted was back in 1963. You can see at least two episodes on ABC. It was The Object Is, sort of a takeoff on Password, involving describing famous people or famous situations according to objects. So The Object Is lasted about 6 months. It was produced here in New York on ABC. Had some very interesting celebrities joining in. As again, I said, you can check out two of the episodes of that series, including one of the last ones, on YouTube. So the answer to our trivia question this week, the first game show hosted by Dick Clark was The Object Is back in 1963. The last one, Winning Line, from 2000. Diane Montgomery of Dallas, Texas got the last one, and she is getting the Philip Glass soundtrack for the acclaimed National Geographic film, Jane. Well, a new tactic trivia question for you on Monday. Let's see if we can go for three weekly wins in a row. Can we do it? We certainly can. But you have to play in order to win. So we'll give you the question on Monday afternoon's program. All you got to do is email me if you know the answer. That's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and your full name address so that you are the correct answer giver. You win. And if you missed the question, you missed the episode on Monday, we will post, if we don't get a winner by Monday night, we will post the question on Tuesday morning on Facebook and on Twitter. Simon Applebaum is where you can find me on Facebook. And on Twitter, my handle is at UBC Simon TWBT. That's a UBC Simon TWBT. And if you already won before, let somebody else win for the very first time. We do appreciate it. So don't forget, new classic trivia question on Monday. We're going for a winner number three in the three-week stretch. Let's see if we can do it. So be sure to hear us Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, for our new classic trivia question of the week. We'll have a new prize for you as well. And so be it. Once again, congratulations to Diane Montgomery of Dallas, Texas, for being our latest classic trivia winner. And now it's time for another regular feature that we do. It's called the Show to Know. We highlight usually a program that people may not know about, and we highlight it because we think it's worth your while to watch. And you might not know because the show is not well promoted, publicized, marketed, or falls on the radar screen of critics and journalists. Let me give you a prelude to our Show to Know today. Back in the mid-1980s, anthology series, or I should say reboots of anthology series, were the wave. There was Alfred Hitchcock Presents, there was The Twilight Zone, there were a few others, and then in the midst of all that, there was a program by Steven Spielberg called Amazing Stories on NBC. It was on Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, and the whole idea was to do science fiction, speculative, ghostly tales that the whole family could watch together. One person called it like Tales of Wonder, but it also gave some top film directors like Joe Dante, Robert Zemeckis, and even Clint Eastwood the opportunity to stretch their muscles and do episodic television. The program got mixed reviews. There were some really good episodes in the bunch, including one that Spielberg directed called The Mission, with a great performance by Kevin Costner. It involved a World War II mission where one of the crew members got stuck in the turret. And it was a very suspenseful show, thanks to the performances, the cinematography, and a great music score by Spielberg's go-to person, John Williams. Wonderful hour segment. It was one of three episodes that Spielberg directed all in the first season. The show ran two seasons on NBC. It never really became a hit. I think a lot of people thought, well, it was going to be the Steven Spielberg-directed show of the week. But there were some great episodes, like The Mission, and like the Clint Eastwood segment called The Nest and the Guard, also in season one. Very beautiful episode. Very well done, too. So anyway, today, Apple TV Plus is reviving Amazing Stories. As a matter of fact, it was a year ago that Apple TV and Apple announced Apple TV Plus at that press event in Cupertino, California, at their sort of unique in-the-round facility. And Steven Spielberg was there to announce the fact that his program was being revived. Well, the series premieres today, and it's available on Apple TV Plus, on Apple TV, of course, also on other smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And again, it sort of brings back that idea of the anthology series of fantasy, science fiction tales that also express the human condition that the whole family can watch together. This time around, the program is executive produced by Edward Kitsis and Adam Horowitz, the two people who came up with a little idea about 8-9 years ago called Once Upon a Time and turned it into a long-running hit. We had them on the show when they were doing that series for Disney and ABC. We wanted, by the way, to have them on the program for Amazing Stories, but unfortunately, we never heard back from Apple TV's publicist. And as we mentioned, as you came in late in their news, though, they are already working on a Disney Plus miniseries based on two of the characters from Beauty and the Beast, Gaston and LeFou, where they would be working with Josh Gad, who played Gaston in the live-action Disney movie on Beauty and the Beast back in 2017. And Gad, as they said, would also sign on as co-creator, writer, and co-producer. Incidentally, with Amazing Stories, I believe there are 8 episodes in this version. They all have new writers and directors involved. And one of them, one of the episodes, involves the final performance by the wonderful actor Robert Forster of Banyan fame, Jackie Brown, other good performances for film and for television. And I hear the performance is quite good and quite memorable. To be honest, I am really surprised that Apple is not promoting Amazing Stories in a big way. Here in New York, I've seen some bus posters for it, but I haven't seen any subway signs, and I travel the subways around a lot. I haven't seen too much in terms of promotion on TV stations and so forth. Really, really surprised, given the fact that Spielberg himself was at that event last spring, to highlight the series. And again, I'm surprised that so far I haven't seen any reviews in the Hollywood Reporter, in Variety, the trade press, or any newspapers. Really, really surprising. But I have a hunch it's a good show. And given the track record of Kitsis and Horowitz, I think it's something that you definitely ought to see. So once again, Amazing Stories, now available on Apple TV+, available on smart TV sets and smart devices, including Apple TV. For more details about the program online, here's where you can go, tv.apple.com or www.apple.com/Apple TV Plus. That's www.apple.com/Apple-TV-Plus. And we will try again to get Edward and Adam, I thought they were marvelous guests once upon a time, to get them on the program. And I hope they will be able to do it. They're really dynamite producers. And we'll see what happens with Amazing Stories, and we'll see what happens also with their other Disney Plus project. One more time, speaking of Amazing Stories, this is the second anthology series that Apple TV Plus has come up with in the last few months. The first one was Little America, the acclaimed anthology show about immigrant stories from all over the place. I've seen episodes of it. It's marvelous, great. great work by everyone involved. I have a hunch it could very well be an Emmy nominee in the category of Best Drama Series, and it definitely could be a Peabody Award nominee next year. So while you're at it, checking out Amazing Stories, if you haven't checked out Little America yet, you ought to. It's a really marvelous show. Now, is there a television series you like that doesn't get enough attention? I'm sure with this environment of political TV out there, there's got to be something that's whetting your appetite. Well, we'd like to hear about it so we can showcase it on this very program. And if we do get your suggestion and use it on the air, you get the credit. So email me with your suggestion for a show to know at simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember, enclose your name and your mailing address so that we can credit you properly, okay? And don't forget, again, you can use that email to be part of our classic trivia question of the week. Again, simonapple04@yahoo.com. And remember, you can also check us out on social media. I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, so you can always contact me that way. I do return the social media as well as the email within 24 hours. You can also check out updates on our program at Tumblr.com. We do have a Tomorrow Be Televised posting there, so as well as other blogs for radio shows too. So go to Tumblr.com and check us out there. We do appreciate it. Okay? Okay. Since we have some time, I want to offer another thought. And the thought is this. The thought is about the control of the the virus situation that is impacting a lot of us. And it is impacting the television industry. This week, two events that were going to be done here in New York later this month were both canceled. A Fox News Media event here in New York for the press and for advertisers to showcase what's going on with Fox News Channel, Fox Business Network, Fox Nation. And also an event from FreeWheel dealing with the growing interest in advertising on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. In the case of the FreeWheel event, which is going to be taking place next week, this coming week at the Times Center near Times Square, it may be rescheduled for a month or two from now. We'll see. In the case of the Fox News Media event, it probably will not be. At the same time, we're also seeing in South by Southwest, which happens next week in Texas, that a lot of people involved with television, and we're going to showcase TV programs, Starz, Lionsgate, Warner Media, Amazon, Netflix, have all pulled out. Personal thought, it's shameful. And it seems to me that with the coronavirus, that all of these cancellations are happening out of fear, as opposed to maybe not really dealing with reality. Let me explain. And I don't want to downplay the severity of the virus. I wanted to say something here, which is this. With this virus situation, so far, thank goodness, it is impacting the United States far, 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 far lower than it is in China, than it is in South Korea, than it is in Iraq, than it is in France. We've had about 200 cases so far of people with coronavirus and 11, 12 deaths, and most of those deaths from that one spot, the nursing home in Washington State, which is really very sad. But there's something I think we need to think about here, which is this. The time has come for people to have their heads straight and realize that we have to change the attitude here. It seems to me that we have been operating lately out of panic, out of fear, rather than to operate on the assumption or the possibility that we're going to lick this. And trust me, we are licking this. Because actions are being taken all over the place to get the tests out, to have people tested, and for both public and private sources to come up with the treatments and the vaccines on a rapid rate. It is happening. We are in far better shape to deal with this crisis than a lot of other countries. And I know that when you hear about cases, it may be tough to grasp. But given what's happened this week, I think the time has come to transform where we stand on this. And it's time to say, to get together as a nation and say, we're licking this. We're going to lick this. And we are. We're going to get through this. Remember, more people died from 9/11, thousands, that have died so far from this virus. And the more we're learning about this virus, the more we're learning that in many cases, the effects are mild. People recover. And thank goodness we are taking the treatments available, the practices available, to make sure we don't get it. Like using hand sanitizer, like washing the hands, so on and so forth. And yours truly is doing that. And as for this whole thing about, well, we're not going to think about the Olympics being delayed or postponed or canceled, or South by Southwest being canceled, or this being canceled, I really hope that it's time now for more of these events to stay the course and not cancel. Because it's time for all of us to come together and start working from the attitude that we are licking this. It's time to stop the panic. It's time to stop operating out of fear. And it's time to start operating from the possibility that united, we lick this. Now we're going to, not going to have to, we're licking this. And we will. So on this Friday afternoon, in the face of what we've got so far, I invite you to take on that possibility. Yes, do what you need to do to be safe. Do what you need to do out of concern. And keep remembering, we're licking this. We as a nation are in much better shape to handle this virus than a lot of other places. And we are nowhere near in dire circumstances as China and South Korea and Iran and Italy, etc. And those countries, by the way, will get through it also. We're all going to come through this. And I invite you to, from here forward, take that action. Let's stop the panic. And let's all lick this together. Again, I want to thank Michael Sorensen, the executive producer of Rob Weaver Gold Investigation for being with us. I want to thank him particularly for jumping in when we learned that Joseph Schneider, one of the other executive producers who we had mentioned earlier, was going to be here today, could not be, for something that happened suddenly. So, Michael, thank you again for jumping in near last minute to be with us. We really appreciate you being aboard. We are back with you on Monday, 3 degrees New Pacific. Joining us will be, from Future PLC, the folks behind the popular trade magazine, Covering Television, Broadcasting Cable, Multi-Channel News, the next TV website, and the new event, New York City Television Week Spring, coming up in a few weeks. Vice President of Global Energy, Bill Gannon, will join us. And then the director of the new made-for-TV movie premiering on Amazon March 20th, other places down the road, director Craig McMahon. The film is Sweet Sunshine. And remember, 1 week from Monday, March 16th, we're coming at you a half hour earlier than normal, 2:30 Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Pacific. Make sure you check that date down, 2:30 p.m. Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Pacific. We've got Tony Phelan and Joan Rader. They're the writers and executive producers of the new NBC series, Council of Dads, premiering later this month. So be sure to join us. We have more great guests for you, and we want you involved, too. Be interactive with us by phone or chat room. Remember, normally we're on 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, the March 16th episode of the week for Monday, 11:30 a.m. Pacific, 2:30 a.m. Eastern. And remember, Monday, new classic trivia question of the week. So hear the question. If you know the answer, email me, and maybe you'll be our third weekly winner in a row. Remember, we love hearing from you. One thing about, first of all, before we get into that, remember that if you came in late on today's program, or if you want to catch up on episodes you missed, we make it super easy for you. Just go anytime you like to our homepage, www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And don't forget, we are also with you 24/7 on podcast. You can check us out at iTunes, speaking of amazing stories, Apple TV. We're also available on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, TuneIn Radio, TuneIn.com, and Speakers Podcast app. For TuneIn Radio and for iHeartRadio, all you got to do is go to their websites. That's TuneIn.com, iHeartRadio.com. Put Tomorrow Be Televised in the search bar, click and you can enjoy our show anytime you like. All of our episodes from recent months are available at both of those sites. So don't forget our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, and our fellow podcast sites from iTunes, Apple TV, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, TuneIn.com, iHeartRadio, at iHeartRadio.com. And remember, we love hearing from you. What do you think about our topics today? What's your thoughts on where we are in terms of television? I'd like to hear what you think, by the way, about how we should be acting in the face of this virus situation. I'd definitely like to hear from you. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to please enclose your name and where you're emailing from. I do return emails and social media in 24 hours. Speaking of social media, you can always find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter. Facebook, Simon Applebaum. Twitter, at UBC Simon, TWBC. That's at UBC Simon, TWBC. We always love hearing from you, and we appreciate what you have to say. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Block Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and iHeartRadio. Our production associate at Block Talk is Candace Williams. Candy Toe's Block Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of Block Talk Radio, Al Levy, and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow We Televise is brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, Audible has transformed the way you hear the world. For a free book trial and a 1-month trial at that, audibletrial.com/televised. And by the way, stay tuned to Block Talk Radio, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, because they'll continue to cover in various ways the virus crisis. So make sure that you get the information you need. And oh, by the way, I have a moment. I want to congratulate CBS this morning for doing a wonderful hour in the second hour of today's episode about the virus and really being factual, not being panicky, but giving just the facts and what we can all do about it. So congratulations to Gayle King, Anthony Mason, Troy Coppola, all the people involved in CBS this morning for an excellent hour. That, by the way, if you didn't get a chance to see it, I hope they put it on YouTube or CBSNews.com or CBSN, because it was a great hour that really needed to be done. So CBS News and CBS This Morning, thank you for doing it. You really did a great public service for all of us. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a fantastic weekend. Don't forget, turn the clock ahead 1 hour on Saturday night so you can get that extra hour of daylight Sunday and beyond. We'll be back on Monday in Daylight Savings Time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to this weekend, please make it safe, make it great. Whatever you have to do to deal with the virus, please do it, because it's in your best interest. And remember, we're licking this. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.